book of Proverbs, chapter number 10. Doctor the other day, he said to me, you ever thought about retiring? I said, no, I really hadn't, because I've been tired all my life. How can you retire? And he said, good point. Oh, just keep on going, eh? That's the way to do it. I don't go near as fast as I used to. I'm going to start in verse number 12 tonight. We've dealt with the first, I think, 11 verses, if my memory and my notes serve me right. And I'm going to just take these verses kind of one at a time tonight and look at them. I'm going to read two or three of them, and then we're going to seek the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to just come back and look at them. And I trust it'll be a blessing, help to you. Book of Proverbs. How many of you have ever just taken the opportunity to read some of the Proverbs every day? Any of you folks like that? I know a few. May I encourage you to do that? I'm serious. And even if it's one proverb, and take that and chew on it a little bit, mull it over in your mind a little bit. It's amazing. Some things are there. We're just going to take them kind of like that tonight, and I hope they'll give you a little bit of inspiration to go that direction. Let's read verse number 12, 13, 14, and 15. Verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love, what's it say, brethren? Covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I forgot what I told you I was going to go to, but notice verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for this tremendous book we call the Bible. Thank you that we can have it in our hands, but moreover, we can have it in our hearts. I pray, oh God, tonight that through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, we might be taught by you some valuable truth and some things that we can not only use in our own lives, but we can use to help other people. You've not left us here to be an island to ourselves, but a witness to a world to bring glory and honor to your name. We ask for your blessing now in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I come to church and I'm wondering, I wonder what I'm going to say tonight. Do you ever do that? I do. Okay. And I went, what am I going to say tonight? Because sometimes things come and I wonder, where did that come from? And I would like to say it was always from the Spirit of God, but I know sometimes it's from my stupidities. But it's exciting what God has here in His Word. And I've looked at these verses and looked at them and looked at them down through the years, reviewed them again yesterday, reviewed them again today. And we're just going to look at, I don't know, maybe four or five, maybe six. We'll see how far we go tonight. I know that at 7 o'clock, most of you have little bells in your mind to go, ding, 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 it's over, preacher, ding. I'm not listening anymore, ding. And so out in the zone area we go, okay. And I can tell when you're in a zone area because your eyeballs are going, they're just wandering off somewhere. The only good thing about all that is I can't see your eyeballs anymore. The eyes are too bad. They're slow like the stomach. Verse number 12, let's look at it. Verse number 12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Wow. You know some interesting things said about strife in the Word of God. If you would notice chapter 13, just turn over a page. Maybe it's two in your Bible. Chapter 13, notice verse number 10. Notice what it says here. Only by pride cometh contention. Whoa. We're talking about contention. And how does it come about? What causes it? And he tells us pride in one case, hatred. Hatred is what? Hatred is our pride at work. And hatred, it says, stirreth up strife. That's interesting to me as I look at the rest of that. But love does what? It covers our sins. Isn't that something? Love covereth how many sins? All sins. I wrote this down in my notebook several months ago. And just very simple. Strife or harmony? determines if it's hatred or love. All you got to do is look at what has taken place in your life, perhaps between you, perhaps in a situation, perhaps whatever it is, and you can figure out, was it hatred or was it love? Because the Bible is very, very specific. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Years ago, I preached a message on the secret of longevity in the ministry. And I came to the conclusion as I was preparing for that message, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years ago, and as I was preparing for that message and looking at why is it that I've lasted? What is the secret? What is going on here? And I figured it out. I figured out what it is God's people who are willing to forgive all the stupidities that this preacher does. Because love does what? It covers things up. Amen? Isn't that amazing? That when we have real love in our hearts, how we don't hold things any longer. And so it's good for us to stop and look at all the things that transpire in our lives. Is it strife or is it harmony? And it will help us determine, do we have love working in our hearts or do we have hatred? You say, but does a Christian have hatred? Oh, yes. Yes. Christians have hatreds. Christians many times carry around a lot of anger-type issues and so forth. And by the way, the only way we're going to really get rid of those is just let them go. We just let them go. Let God have them. And say, God, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I just need your love in my life. And go in the right direction. Notice verse number 13. Verse 13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. I wrote this down. Wisdom can be attained through the ear or the rear. Now think about it for a moment. Isn't that what that's saying there? Wisdom can be attained as we listen, or if we won't listen, God has to do what? Take the rod to us. Young people, may I give you some advice? Use your ears so your mom and dad don't have to use your rears to teach you with. Amen? Now, some of you in this room, I believe, could say, boy, I wish I'd have done that when I was younger. And it would have saved me a whole lot of different problems. I heard a certain guy talking about that this morning. And his mother's here tonight. I won't say his name. Oh, God, help me keep from doing that. I want to do it so bad. But it says here, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. And we can gain so much from the right kind of people. Notice verse number 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise men lay up knowledge. What does he mean by that? Wise men have an ability to listen. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're trying to get something across, but you couldn't get it across because they were too busy waiting for you to have just an open spot where you took a deep breath, where you could get some more out for them, and they had to interject because they weren't listening, they were waiting just to talk. By the way, that's what arguments are, and they never go anywhere. And sometimes we fail to listen. How we need to listen. Wise men listen. We pay attention, if I can use the pronoun we there. And so we need to listen to those who have that wisdom. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise men will listen. Fools, this is the other part of this, talk too much. Fools talk too much. If you go with me to verse number 15, please. Verse 15, what's it say? The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. I pondered that a long time. I thought, Lord, what is this trying to teach me? The rich man's wealth is his strong city. This must be a good thing. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. This must be the bad thing, but it don't make sense to me, Lord. I said, Lord, what does this mean? And as I looked at this, and the Spirit of God began to open my heart to what He's trying to say here, and I think that I've got the handle on this a little bit, and it's basically this. Riches are not our strength. Oh, I know it says the rich man's wealth is a strong city. That's all he has going for him. But he does not have the true strength that he needs within his soul. And how we need to understand that there is that which is down within that we get only from God. Verse number 16 says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. I find that interesting. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. You know, you get whatever you are. Whatever you are, it's going to come back to you. And the labor of the righteous, what's it going to do? It's going to bring something to you. The wicked man, he's not going to get anything back to him that is going to be worthwhile to him. Verse 17 says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. Oh, wow. Isn't that an interesting verse? Verse 17, I wrote this down. Follow the instructions. He's in the way of life that keepeth instruction. I've been involved in education for 40 years. And one of the things I found in matters of education is students invariably want to skip the instructions. Invariably want to skip the instructions. Is that not true? It's very true. As they have their daily work and it says do this, and do this, and they think they already know it. And so they begin to do it. And I gave you an illustration of that last week. I'll not go back into that again. But nonetheless, we are so prone not to follow the instructions. And how good it would be for us to begin to realize God created all things. And He's got an instruction manual He calls the Bible. Amen? And how we ought to follow the instructions of the Word of God. Verse 18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that doth slander is a fool. This is more of a comparison, a contrast, but he's saying here, listen, fools seek to tear down people with their words. They hide hatred with lying lips. And he that doth slander is a fool. Listen, parents, these are verses that you need to be familiar with, because when your child is telling a lie or you see a situation of that sort, how you can bring them to the Word of God and help them understand some very, very important truth out of God's Word. Today we find that our, I want to call them sugar puffs, what we snowflake people today, our millennials, so many are going away from the house of God, don't want to be in church, and don't want anything to do with it whatsoever. And really, I fear that it comes down to the fact that we look at things like this. And we find so much getting torn down as opposed to being built up. Can't pick on you a minute. No. You're a second child, aren't you? You know what they say about second children? They're not as good as the first. And guess who reminds you of that all the time? The first one. Yeah, they're real good at that. Yeah. And you know, they'll tell you something like, I'm the perfect child. Yeah. Yeah. And mom and dad agree with them. Oh, yeah, yeah, it goes with that. My second child says, the first child could get away with anything. You believe that? See what I'm saying? Okay. And you know, I could zero in on all of your bad qualities. Take me a while to remember them all, but there's some in there. I've known you all your life. And I mean, we could go back to some really rebellious days, some stupid things you did that we won't tell because these students don't need to hear those things, right? Okay, we won't. She didn't really do them. We're just making this up. And yeah, she's got those. You know, from time to time, it's, you know, we're going to deal with some things that are negative. But it's going to help her a whole lot more to tell her how to do it than telling her don't do it. We have to say don't. And you got a little son now, and you got to tell him don't do this, don't do this. But the greatest thing is to get him to go in the right direction, you got to show him the right way to go. And so much of the problem we've had as God's people with our young people is rather than showing them from the Word of God these simple biblical truths, we're just quick to point out, thou shalt not. Rather than to point out why that's there and what that allows you to do. I mean, think about it, Lindsay. We go to the Garden of Eden, and what did God say to Adam and Eve? Thou shalt not do what? Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not. Quentin, what did he say they could do? You can have everything else. Yeah. And so we need to understand something. We come to the Word of God, we need to say, hey, this is the instruction. These are the things God wants to do. This is direction to go. These are principles to live by. And rather than beating people's brains out all the time, oh, we've got to do that sometimes. But we also need to understand there needs to be that instruction. So Solomon, in his wisdom, sought after God, and he says, God, give me wisdom that I can direct all of these people. And God gave him wisdom. And then Solomon sat down and he wrote a book, and it was basically then to his son, though not only to his son, but all of us, that we might gain some wisdom. And so there's negative things here, but those negative things are trying to teach us how to go in the right direction. Isn't that true? And so he's telling us, follow the instructions. Don't tear down others with words. That's what fools do. Notice verse number 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Boy, that's an interesting verse. If you go to chapter 17, verse 28, you're going to find out that the fool talks a lot. And that's really what he's saying here. Because your words are going to reveal your sin. The more you talk, the more that is revealed. And so God's trying to teach us some things about what we say. Some folks say, I don't care what people think of what I say. Well, then you don't care that they're going to walk away from you. And there's times that we just need to what? Shut it off. Interesting as you come to the Word of God. Verse number 20. He says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. I wrote this down. When a good man speaks, his words are of great worth. He says, like choice silver. We mentioned it last week with another verse, but we find it throughout the book of Proverbs. Young folks, especially, listen to me on this. You need to get around folks who have wisdom and listen to the things that they have to say to you. And don't be afraid to ask them questions. Matter of fact, most would be delighted to be able to answer your kind of questions. But listen to those who have those kinds of experiences. And wow, God's telling us here, when a good man speaks, we need to listen to him. The lips of the righteous, he says in verse 21, feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. What happens to fools? They listen to the wrong people. It's important who you listen to. Years ago, we had a student in school, and he came to school every morning. He was just tired. He'd lay his head down on his desk. He couldn't stay awake. And I dealt with him several times. I said, "What is your problem?" He said, "Well, I was up really late." I said, "What are you up for?" He says, "Well, I had a friend. I was trying to help him." And that happened over and over and over again. I got a friend I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help him with this and that and the other problem. Listen, this kid had enough of his own problems. Why in the world is a kid asking another kid for some life-threatening problems? Go to folks who really have an understanding. One of the reasons we don't go is because we're afraid of what we might hear. We don't want to hear that we might be wrong, but oh my goodness, the wisdom we can gather when we do so. Fools listen to the wrong people. Verse number 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Now, I don't think it's talking about wealth financially, but it could be. But it's talking about the riches of our soul. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. I wrote this down, and there's a reason. I'll try to explain it. The hangover of the Lord is good. God's hangovers are good. Amen. We were out preaching one night. Didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning. A friend of mine, he'd taken an old bread truck and he cut off the last about 5 feet of that bread truck and made a platform. And on that platform, he had what we call a sounding board. And it was a board that was about 4x4. And then there was another board about 4x4 that was on an angle. And you stand in front of that, your voice would project without electronics or anything else. And it was a really interesting setup. And on the one board, the one that was flat, one of the fellows, he had learned how to do chalk art. You ever seen a chalk artist at work? So we pulled up in front of a bar in Rochester, Michigan. We were young and dumb. But we pulled up in front of a bar, and we got stuff out, and he put a big sheet of paper up on that board, and he got up there, and he got his chalk out, and he began to draw this picture. I was mesmerized because I'd never seen that done before. And he'd do a little scribble here, and he'd do a little scribble there, and a little scribble here. I thought, what in the world is he doing? And all at once, he did a few more scribbles, and it just came together. A matter of seconds, it seemed like. And what it was a hill with three crosses on it. And one of the guys got up and began to preach on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was amazing about that was there were guys who had stumbled out of the bar and saw him drawing that picture and stood around and watched and began to hear the message being preached. And it was amazing. One guy, beer on his breath really bad. And he stood there and listened to the whole thing. And I took him aside and on the hood of a car, opened my Bible and showed him how to get saved. And he prayed a sinner's prayer. We changed locations and went over in front of a theater when it was letting out. And most of those folks kept walking on by, but pretty soon four young men came up. What I did not know was these guys had been out the night before. And while they were out, one of the fellows had gotten saved. And that night he was bringing three of his buddies back. What we did not know was they were all enlisted in the military, and it was their last night out, and they were going in early in the morning. And so now three of those guys, they get saved, along with the fourth who had the night before, because he wanted to get them over there to hear the gospel message. And they heard, and they got saved. I don't know why we did it, but they wanted to get baptized that night, and we went and woke up the preacher, one of the young men, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and we let him to cry, or they got baptized. We stopped and had something to eat, and we didn't have cell phones in those days. And I get home about 3 o'clock in the morning, and my wife is not real happy not knowing where I'd been, as you can understand. But as soon as I told her, it was like, praise the Lord. Because what had happened that night was such a wondrous thing. And I couldn't go to sleep because of what had taken place in the heart and the life. The hangover of the Lord is good. But some of those who had been in those bars that night, you know what hangovers do. Some of you can shake your head, you know. But the hangover of the Lord is good. Verse number 22, what's it saying? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. Verse 23 says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Fools hurt others and laugh, while a wise man knows much better. Yeah, sometimes your young people are going to get laughed at. And they'd understand that there are folks who are going to try to make sport of them. But a man of understanding has wisdom. He's going to know and understand some things. And I think I'll stop with verse 24. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. And I wrote this down. I don't know if I can get this explained to you, but I'm going to try. And I wrote down just very simply, attitude makes the difference. One has fear, and what happens? That's what takes over his life. The other has a desire to serve God, and that's what takes over his life. Attitude is so, so important. What's our attitude? When we walk with the Lord, man, He can change that attitude. Amen? He can do something for it. I like being around positive people. I like being around folks who say, hey, we can do that. You know, I don't like bah humbug. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, everything you do in a church, well, I mean, you throw it out and you say, man, let's get this thing. There's always four or five people that say, oh, you can't do that. But I love those who say, hey, yeah. Some people forgot to read Philippians. When he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. Attitude's important, amen? It really is. And how can we straighten our attitude out? Well, we get into God's Word and see how God does everything and God accomplishes everything He says He's going to accomplish, and to do something for attitude. If all you do is sit around and woe is me and, boy, you just don't know my problems, get your mind off of your problems. Put it upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, you got problems. So is the rest of the world. But focus in the right place, because it makes a difference. Gives you a strength to go forward. Yeah. You ever seen the guy said, loser, loser? What's the loser? He's the guy that walks into the ball game not believing he can win. Shelly, if I'm going to go to a ball game and I don't believe I'm going to win, I'm not even going to play. I can prove it. When my boys turned 14, 15, 16 years of age, I quit playing ping pong. Couldn't win anymore. Find something I can win. Say, well, you're not well with it. Listen. We need to just have the right attitude. Amen? God wants us to realize with Him it can be done. Well, amen. We looked at a few verses tonight. Again, the intent of this and this month is for you to take this book of Proverbs, read these things, let them soak into your mind. Maybe do what I've done. Maybe write down three or four words. I took a notebook years ago and I put Proverbs 10. Now, this doesn't work too well in Proverbs 1 through 9, but from 10 on, I mean, every verse is like a little mini sermon. And I'd read that verse, and then I would make just a small capsule. I try to do it in three words. As you notice tonight, I couldn't always do that. But I try to look for three words. And it helped me to just be able to show me what this is really trying to teach me. And what marvelous saying that does in the life. Does the Word of God, can it have an effect on your life? Yes. Very positive and very practical effect. And so God wants us to take these things, because here's a book that is dealing primarily with human relationships. It is. It is psychology 101, 201, 301, 401. It is a graduate course in psychology. You can get your doctorate in psychology. Study the book of Proverbs. Because God created man, and God has shown us how to get along with each other. And God has shown us how to go after wisdom, not be a fool, not be a simple man, not to be a scorner, but how to be the wise person. And you find that all the way through this great book. Let God do something in your life. And it's something you've got to dig out and let Him do in your life. I'm just hoping to try to inspire you a little bit to go that direction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You so much for this great, wondrous book. Lord God, I feel so inadequate in trying to describe Your book, but oh God, how marvelous it is. That which You teach us, that which is wondrous, oh God, we thank You. The wisdom that we can have, that we might make the right choices in life and go in the right directions. Lord, we know that today our young people especially need the wisdom of God. You've even said that if we lack it to ask of You, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I believe, oh God, when You're giving it to us, You'll direct us this tremendous book of wisdom. And Lord, I pray that You just move upon our hearts. Help us to learn these tremendous principles and use them in our life. And for that, we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.